I'm Becky, and welcome to another episode of the Salty Mums podcast, where we explore motherhood from a Christian perspective through women's stories and wisdom to help us remain the salt of the earth in today's culture. Hello! How are you, you lovely lot? I hope you're very well, and it feels like spring's in the air at long last, doesn't it? It feels like the sun shines out, the flowers are starting to bloom. I'm very excitedly looking out at all the bulbs that I planted last spring in our garden, and also the little bird that's eyed up my new bird box in the garden, which I know makes me sound middle-aged, but I am embracing it if this is middle-aged, because I love it. And I have to say, my garden is a big part of supporting my mental health, which is a nice little segue into today's topic today, because today on the podcast we have the amazing Ellie Limebear and Jane Kirby, who've just written a book on anxiety. And if we look at the news, the stats, what doctors are saying, anxiety is epidemic today. It doesn't surprise me in many ways. I mean, we're bombarded with negative news, and you know, the news is really negative at the moment, isn't it? But also, our lives are so frantic, so busy. We don't have time for our minds to be still, to process things properly. We're bombarded with, you know, you shoulds and coulds, and you know, messages to be better, to get more, etc., etc. And I think it just turns our minds into this sort of frantic mush at times. Anyway, so this is why I really wanted to cover this topic and to think a little bit about it in the context of motherhood, and of course in the context of faith, which I think is a really important thing to talk about, because as you'll hear on the podcast, I think faith can sometimes add an extra negative dimension if you're struggling with anxiety, but of course it can add an amazing positive dimension to dealing with it too. Anyway, here's the episode, and just remember, I'll remind you at the end of the podcast, but just remember, if you really enjoy this episode, if you find it helpful, and you think other people should or need to hear this episode, and please do go on and review the show. It really does, and you probably hear this on lots of different podcasts, but it really does help improve the visibility of the show and help the people who need to hear it find it. Hi Ellie, hi Jane.
Hello.
Hello.
How do we find you today? You all right?
I'm well. I don't know about you, Jane, but I'm good. The sun is shining here in Brighton, so that's always a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's shining here in Hastings too, and that's really good to be with you both today.
You're both in the South Coast then, are you?
Lovely. We are both in the South Coast.
And the sun's shining, that's a rare.
The sun is shining, it's beautiful.
It's freezing. I don't know about absolutely freezing, but here we are, shivering. Yeah.
Do you know what? We always end up talking about the weather at the beginning of the podcast. Yeah. It's just such a British thing to do. There we go.
We can't help ourselves.
No, we can't.
So why don't you just introduce yourselves a little bit?
Yes, I am Ellie Limebear. It's a random name, I know. Lime like the fruit, bear like the animal. That is my real name. We think that someone might have made it up. But I am married to Tom. We have two small children, two little boys under two, and we live in Brighton in the UK, on the South Coast. I personally think it's the best place in the world, but open for discussion. I am a worship leader and songwriter. We travel around as a family, and I lead worship in different churches and conferences, and it's a joy to do this, and also now an author with my beautiful friend Jane Kirby. Released a book too called Say Goodbye to Anxiety. So it's such a joy to be on here. Jane, I'll hand it over to you.
Well, just before Jane hands over, I was going to say, I want to say, Ellie, before we carry on, I watch you on Instagram, and that sounds a bit creepy, doesn't it? I watch you on Instagram. I follow you on Instagram. And can I just say, I'm in awe of how you guys travel around with two under two. I'm panicking. We're taking our boys abroad for the first time in a few weeks' time. And they're 4 and 6, have never been on a plane, and I am bricking it. I am so nervous about it.
You can do it. You can do it. Pretend it's a bus. Just pretend it's a bus. That's what I say to myself. Okay. You're going to get on, and then you're going to get off at some point.
That's true. Sorry, Jane. Carry on.
No. I mean, I've traveled with little ones, but they were a lot younger, and my one. Actually, I'm not going to name them. One cried on takeoff and didn't stop until just before we landed.
Oh no. Oh, it's every parent's nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, but he was a lot younger, so I think they'll love it. They'll see it as an adventure. Lots of snacks.
You'll never see anyone again.
Yeah, that's true.
And lots of people wear headphones these days anyway, so
yeah.
Thanks for the confidence. I'll take that with me.
Well, I live on the south coast too, in Hastings, and I think it's the best place in the country to live in. By the sea. Oh, it's beautiful. I publish Truth magazine for young women and run Rebel Hearts, Rebel Girls, and we've just got charitable status for the magazine, which is amazing. And the charity is going to be called Truth, or is called Truth Generation. So it's going to have a broader remit, reaching young people around country and overseas with the message of Jesus, essentially sharing truth. Also wrote the book Say Goodbye to Anxiety with Ellie, which was just such a joy and a privilege to do. And so really thrilled to be here this morning. Actually, it isn't quite this morning, isn't it? But no. Whenever this goes out.
But it's afternoon now, isn't it, actually? Yeah. But and honestly, I think mum brain has carried on with me 4 years after giving birth, because yesterday at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I said good morning to someone. So, so obviously you've written Say Goodbye to Anxiety. But let's start with your experiences of anxiety.
I basically crash landed with anxiety. I was on holiday and I just started to feel anxious. But I realized that actually it had been with me for a while, but just low level, but it really caught up with me. And I went on medication, started counseling, and went on a journey with it coming free. So yeah, it was a very difficult time, shall I say. Very tough. Yeah, so that was, gosh, I think probably like 13 years ago now.
I would say like similar but different, honestly, with Jane, the fact that I think it came as like a big old download revelation that this is what I've been struggling with. I would say probably about 4 years ago I had this whole, well, it was the Lord just revealed, honestly, just like, this is the beast of anxiety, the beast of fear had just been eating me alive really for years, and I didn't even know that's what it was. And around the time, we do live very full lives and, you know, lots of different things we, you know, were jumping to and flying to. And I think I covered a lot of my fear with busyness and excuses of like, oh, I can't do that because I'm doing this. So I covered a lot of my anxiety with, just things and excuses, honestly. And it came at a time when we were in COVID lockdown and nowhere to go, nothing to do. And I couldn't excuse anymore, like the things that I was feeling fearful about. It definitely was a whole realization of like, oh, this is what it is. Like, this is the reason why I can't, I feel like I can't do this. I feel like I, yeah, feel this every time I want to do this, blah, blah, blah. And so it was, but then it turned into anger of like, how dare you? Like, no, this is not the way I'm supposed to be living. And it's like minimized my life. It minimized my life in so many areas, anxiety. And, but it just tricks you into thinking that's normal. That's like, that's an obvious thing to be fearful about, or that's an obvious thing to be anxious about. Like everyone feels anxious about that, but actually that's lies, isn't it? And so it's definitely been a journey of overcoming anxiety and tackling it head on for sure.
And often people who are generally quite anxious, they feel that their anxiety is almost a bit of a coping mechanism, isn't it? Or like it's an element of their success almost, you know, because it's what you plan so many different strategies in your head to cope with things that you feel more prepared or, yeah, I don't know if that rings true for either of you.
I was just thinking actually about when you're a mum, that this thing about worrying for your children almost feel like you're meant to worry for your children.
Yeah.
And I unpicked that a bit, and actually they're not just our children. They're God's children. And part of my journey was losing my middle son when he was a baby. And I had to, I had to surrender him to God. But that meant having surrendered him, I needed to surrender my other children. And I think that's a constant journey as mothers, to keep surrendering your children, to know that they're in God's hands and his hands are bigger than ours. And I think that whole thing about then you're trying to control an environment around them as well to protect them. And again, they're not just our children, they're God's. And so, yeah, I do think we sometimes worry because we feel that's what we're meant to do. But actually, we're not meant to worry about anything, are we? We're meant to give everything to God and to leave it in his hands. Easily said than done, shall we say, but
yeah.
But sometimes when things are out your hands, it's easier, isn't it? Like it's, I think we sometimes have an illusion, don't we, that we can control certain things. But when with something like the death of a child, because we actually lost our first daughter as well, and what you said really rung true with me about surrendering her to God, and it's challenged me a little bit to think about whether I've surrendered my other two. And I don't think I probably have, because I think I'm probably at that stage where they're young and they're around a lot. And it feels like you are in control of them a lot at the moment. Sorry, Elle, you were going to say something.
No, I, sorry about, my goodness, Vicky. Thank you for sharing that. This is, yeah, wow. I feel like things have become like, kind of off the back of what you were talking about, Jane, too, about the norm of things and how things and worries can become the norm in society of like, yeah, we all get worried about that. But actually, again, that's just like a lie, and that shouldn't be the case, should it? And it's a good challenge, I think, for all of us Christians, isn't it? To like go, it's, we're called to go against the grain and called to like, you know, walk the path that is narrow and do things different, you know, don't go along with the patterns of this world. And it's so easy to, isn't it? It's so easy to worry about the same things that everyone else does, but it's a good challenge. I'm just thinking in my own life to like, what's a natural thing to worry about that I want to be challenged on, you know? It's good.
Absolutely. So what was the point when you both knew actually this was really significant? This wasn't just everyday worries, or you know, but it was actually something you needed to really seek help on.
Yeah, I think I couldn't function. Basically, I couldn't function. I wasn't eating properly. At times, I would describe the feeling. It was a physical feeling that I almost felt like I was having an electric shock. Sometimes it was so fierce that the tightness in my chest, it's all I could think about. I just felt anxious, and I was anxious about being anxious. So praise the Lord, I could sleep. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I could sleep. And my husband, oh, he was amazing. He would, I said, please don't go to sleep until I'm asleep. So he would read a book or whatever until he knew I was asleep. I mean, that didn't last forever, but it went through a short period. But yeah, that was, oh, it was just awful. I just knew I desperately needed help. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, the panic attacks were like a major sign of like, oh, this isn't Ellie. This isn't something I've ever experienced before, and this doesn't feel normal. And about, yeah, different things that I, again, didn't think I would be anxious about. But I would, yeah, just have panic attacks about things, about, wow, this is a shock to the system. This is, like, not okay. And, yeah, realizing that the things that I once loved doing became fear. The things that I, you know, I'd look into the future, dreaming about the future, but there'd just be so much fear around and anxiety around particular things. And so I think for me, I realized that, oh, wow, this is actually a bigger thing than just a little worry. It's like, actually, it's clouding over my vision and clouding over my future and past. It felt like it was all consuming. And I realized there was a moment in lockdown when I had this revelation of what was going on and had been going on for years. And it was like really sad. It was sad because I was like, no, like, oh, I thought I was like, hey, I didn't ever think I'd be an anxious person. I'm up, I'm positive, my middle name's Joyful. Like, no one would ever think that Ellie would be anxious. Like, no, I'm a worship leader, I serve, I'm in ministry. Like, I can't be an anxious person. This is shameful. I felt shame too, and like guilty of it. And there was a moment when one evening my husband encouraged me to write down all the things I would do if I didn't have fear, if I didn't have anxiety. And it was just pages and pages and pages of things. And it was beautiful, but also like really heartbreaking, just looking at these things and like really tiny things, but like anxiety had like blown up to be a massive deal. And so I think that for me was a realization of like, oh wow, anxiety has like minimized my life. It's like shushed me, kept me indoors, told me I couldn't do this, that, or the other, or never do that, or you are going to be anxious for a long time, you know, all these lies, and had actually stopped me living in a lot of freedom. And then, you know, growing up in church, growing up knowing the truth and knowing as a believer, like what Jesus has died for, what Jesus says about fear, says so many times in the Bible, do not be afraid, do not fear. And then knowing like what he died for was for freedom for us. And I was just like, wow, this is how the enemy gets in, doesn't he? He just like will make us fearful. And it's not just women, and it's, you know, it's men and women, young and old, rich and poor, all over the world, that like the enemy is using this as like to stop us all from living the life that Jesus died for us. And so, yeah, it was a bit of like, absolutely not on my watch. I want to get free. So that's, yeah, it's definitely been a journey.
Powerful testimony of that. It really is. And one thing I wanted to pick up on, Ellie, that you just said there about was about shame. And having experienced bouts of severe anxiety myself, I found that having a faith sometimes added to my distress because I felt like I'd failed to trust in God. You know, like we're talking about walking on that narrow path and you know, rejecting that fear, rejecting those lies. But I felt in those moments I'd failed to do that, you know. That's obviously something that you can relate to.
Yeah, 100%. It was, yeah. And it, you know, when you've just, we all have an image of ourselves, don't we? We all have like, you know, people that I spoke, like describe yourself in three words. It's like, I never thought no, anxious would be one of those, maybe one of those words at those times. And it definitely is an interesting thing, being a Christian, being a believer, knowing the truth, you know, living, breathing it, yet still experiencing anxiety. And all I know is that, like, we are human. We are, you know, and I think it's, the pressure is off in the fact that, like, Jesus, you know, again and again, he talks about weakness and, like, give me those things. Like, that's the things he wants. Those are the things he, like, he does. He's not after our perfect self and our all together Sunday best. It's like, those are the times when, like, I've been, had the most beautiful encounters and, like, moments with the Lord in my anxious, most anxious state. Mm. Because he is there. Again, he always says, to, you know, he's there in every moment, isn't he? And sometimes we can't feel it or know it, but I definitely have battled against that, like, the guilt and shame of it. But actually, it's such a, sorry, I'm going on, but I do feel like there's such a, when you share vulnerability, there's connection with people. And I've noticed that even with my relationships with my non-Christian friends, sharing my vulnerability about this, it's almost like, oh, finally, like almost like you're struggling with maybe something that we can connect on. You know, there's a bit of that, like, okay, now you're not all great and happy. And like, there's something, you know, to connect here. Like, let's talk about it. And like, how do you feel? And I've, like, there's beauty in that connection. And not to say, like, yeah, I want to be anxious because I want to connect with my friends. That's not the thing. But do you know what I mean? When there's vulnerability there, I think it's a really, yeah, beautiful thing to connect with different people, relationships, and that understanding. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So has your experience of anxiety impacted the way, well, your experience of motherhood or vice versa at all? I'll put that to Jane first.
Yeah, I was reflecting on that earlier, and I suppose it's stolen. Stolen from me and my family, and it's stolen from all of our lives, hasn't it? And that makes me cross. That makes me really cross, because I think about the time, I remember actually one of my sons, when I was not in a good way and my husband was at work, and he said, oh, mummy, can you call your friend? And this is this particular friend. Can you call her? And I was just thinking, oh my gosh, he needs me to call somebody in. And maybe in that moment, he is concerned for me and how I am. And, you know, I think back now, actually, what can I do about that? You know, that maybe it caused a wound, I don't know. But I can give it to God. I can give it to God. I can give. And I think that is so important, is keep processing things with God. Keep giving them to him. You know, a lot of people go through a process at the beginning and the end of their day spiritually, don't they? Looking at, is it examine? I think it is. Anyway, and I just think something like that would be so helpful. Just to process some of these things. Mind you, when you're anxious, to be honest, that's just another thing to be anxious about. But looking back now, I think, yeah, the process is so important, to give those things when they come up, when you've got a memory of something, to give it to God.
I love that, Jane. That's so good.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that on. Thank you. I feel like, weirdly, when I had my first son, Maccabee, so one of my big fears was, like, flying. And funny enough, that's what we were doing.
Ironic.
That's what we do a lot of time, is fly to places. And but I noticed that with flying and with trips going away, I actually became less anxious, because I had someone to look after and someone that needed full attention 24/7, as we all know, of their needs. And it's it's a lot, and actually I found it was almost like a really good distraction for that particular fear, and it actually helped me enjoy those times because we were making memories on the plane and on the airport and doing our little routine of check-in and things, how to entertain him and things like that. I noticed that I was actually starting to enjoy it rather than dread it, because of it was his first experience here. And I was like, that's really interesting, because I thought I'd be even more anxious getting on a plane with a baby. What's this going to be like? But actually I noticed that it was the other way, which is a great surprise. Hallelujah.
Oh, brilliant.
But there are definitely times when it is like, yeah, it is nerve-wracking and anxious. But I feel like there's other areas also in motherhood where there are days I'm feeling very anxious. And I think it's always good to just get out of the house and see one person, or to invite them over, even not even to get out of your house, but to like actually voice the things that you're anxious about. I noticed was like huge, and it lost weight instantly as I would say things. If I'd be speaking to a friend or a family member, but like, I'm actually feeling anxious about this today, and then saying it out loud, hearing your voice actually say what you're anxious about, is like, oh, okay, so that's what you're feeling. Okay, how are we gonna go about that today? And having someone else sit like into your mind, almost, I found really helpful, and still find really helpful, just to openly say your thoughts has been really honestly helpful. So if you're listening, you've never done it, I'd encourage you to just speak out your anxious thoughts to someone, even if it sounds so stupid. I noticed it sounded like, that's really silly that I'm feeling like this, but this is what I'm anxious about. And the people who love you, you know, they're going to come alongside you for sure.
Absolutely. And I guess that's why a lot of talking therapies are quite effective in, anxiety related disorders, because you are speaking them out, aren't you? And you're sort of helping your brain to process them in some way. Okay, so we've talked a lot about your experience of anxiety, but what was the real sort of positive turning points for you?
Key things on my journey were counselling, prayer, medication, and then coming off medication. Coming off medication was like, yes, I'm there. And realising that I think that the promises in the Bible were for me, that I could believe in what the Bible said and I could use it in my armory to in the fight against anxiety. My husband had a picture of me wearing boxing gloves, and he said, Jane, you need to get your boxing gloves on. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, you need to get your boxing gloves on, and you need to get the Bible, and you need to use it, what it says, in your fight. And honestly, that made a million percent, trillion percent, if that's such a thing, of difference. Just speaking out, I have the mind of Christ. I have a sound mind. I have not been given a spirit of fear. You are my refuge and my strength. I remember sitting on the floor in my bathroom and just speaking out words from the Psalms. And I just thought, I'm not having this. I'm not having this in my life. get out, anxiety. You are a loser. I don't want you, and I'm not going to have you. And the more I spoke the word of God out over it, the more it shrunk. And yeah, I got to see things in a different way. And I'm just so thankful for the word of God and my husband and God, you know, all the rest of it. But yeah, that made such a difference.
So good, Jane.
Oh, thanks, Ellie.
I would say for me, like, worship was a massive tool, weapon, whatever you want to call it, just putting it on and having like truth in my mind to sing to. And I love to sing, so I
yeah.
on that.
Handy.
And so I found that like really helpful. And I'd often, do you know what, a lot of those times I play this one EP by Brian and Katie Tallwall. And one of the songs on there was called Praise Before My Breakthrough. Mm. And that song, I just remember, again, it was like, you know, Spotify rap. You get that, like, the data of how much you listen to songs. And that, all the whole EP was like the top five songs. Mm. I listened to hours and hours. And I think having those particular songs that was like encouraging truth, and like pushed me to continue to praise before my breakthrough, continue to like thank God. And yeah, and those times where it was just like so crippling and I didn't want to leave my house. I didn't leave my house for days. I would just try and, you know, worship through it and clean. I love cleaning. I just clean my house when I'm anxious. I just clean.
I wish I was an anxious cleaner. My house would be a lot tidier.
Oh, this is so satisfying. Good old tidy. But I feel like, yeah, that was a huge thing for me. And also, again, just like speaking to people about it, just like airing it. It felt like airing, just your crap of like, do you know what? Yeah. This is actually how I am, how I'm feeling at the moment, prayer, gathering, you know, it was, I can't even remember what it was, but my sweet sister like got two of my friends, my best friends and her, one evening and just prayed over me and sang over me and declared things over me and my future and my life. And it was, you know, incredibly special and incredibly vulnerable all at the same time. But it was, that was so, so instrumental into my path of freedom, I would say, that prayer, gathering, airing things, worship, and truly believing that it wasn't me. Like, it was not, this isn't, I think I was so determined to not, I don't know, just in me, like, I don't want to be old and grey and anxious. I just don't want to be a saggy grandma who still doesn't leave her house. Yeah. And still is anxious about the same old things. I don't want to be, and then it got, you know, I don't want to be a fearful mum. I don't want to be a fearful, anxious mum that can't leave the house and can't do things and that affects my children. You know, it goes on. Like, I just don't want to be a fearful wife. I don't want to be a fearful sister and daughter. It goes on and on and on. And I think I was just like, oh, not, I don't want that for my life. And I know Jesus really doesn't either. And so it definitely has been a battle of like when those anxious thoughts, anxious like periods, I'd say, is just knowing what helps and knowing what's a, you know, kind of gets you out, which again, worship was a major thing for me and all the rest of it. So, yeah.
I love that.
That's beautiful. And as you were speaking then, what just occurred to me is a lot of the things that help with anxiety are restoring the relationships that are sort of were broken in the Garden of Eden. So, you know, like relationship with God was, you know, broken, but turning to him, relationship with others, you know, talking to people, connecting with people, not being on your own, that, you know, I think that's when anxiety can be most crippling, isn't it? Is when you're on your own, you're in, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, there's no one there to talk to and speak that out. And for me, like relationship with creation as well, like for me, getting outdoors, getting sunshine, getting some, you know, fresh air in my lungs, you know, sort of restoring, because I for me, my relationship with God is really important. I connect with God when I'm outdoors. And yeah, sorry, it's just a passing thought that I had in my head of how, you know, anxiety is almost a symptom of that broken relationship at times, isn't it?
Oh, that sounds really powerful. Definitely. It is about a broken relationship, isn't it? And a fallen world. And we're coping with the fallout.
Yeah.
So true.
It's not often I have a powerful moment, so
I think you have them without realizing them.
Yeah, maybe. So you've talked about things that sort of helped you recover and some of the practical things you did. What are the biblical truths that you think are most helpful in the context of those suffering from anxiety?
I think, sorry, Ellie, there's things about having the mind of Christ. I mean, what I would do is say to people, ask God to give you Bible verses that you can speak out, because he knows the right Bible verse for your situation. I mean, there are the obvious ones. Do not be anxious about anything. And you're like, yeah, that's great. Do not be, but with prayer and thanksgiving. So what Ellie was saying about worshiping, thankfulness, that's actually taking them and applying them. But yes, for me it was, I have the mind of Christ, you are my refuge and my strength. I mean, there are so many that I just turned to, but I did ask God to give me Bible verses, or people sent me Bible verses that were just really, really powerful.
I love that. Yeah, I'd say all the same. It's like, there's this one verse that it's in John that talks about, I give you peace, not as the world gives, like true, real peace. And I think that one for me has always been like it's so true. It's like nothing else, like no one else can give you peace. Like not as much as I can clean and tidy my home, I will never get the real peace that is in Jesus. And that will truly like give me full peace, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, it's really great to have coping mechanisms, things that we all do to like keep going. But I think knowing that he is the only one that is peace and can give us true peace. The Bible is full of it. Like Jane said, it's just full of really encouraging things. And also just like, come on, like get up, you know, wash your face, get out, you know, those sort of verses that it's, you come on, there's more in you than you're stronger than you think, sort of.
Yes.
And yeah, those verses aren't there to like beat you over the head with, are they? I mean, so like we had an amazing lady on in season two called Rachel Newham, and she's a mental health campaigner. Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she was saying, I can't remember if she said it on the podcast, whether she said it to me, but she's like, you know, it's not do not be anxious, it's like don't be anxious because I've got it, you know. And it's like and it's not saying don't feel things, it's just saying you don't need to constantly go over this in your head, you know. And I think sometimes we can read those things, can't we? And I think people have probably put this on us at times, of that don't be anxious is like a angry don't be anxious. If you're anxious, you're a failure. But it's that's those verses aren't, they don't have that tone, do they? It's more of a kindness and gentleness.
Well, they wouldn't be there in the Bible if God didn't know we would have a problem with it.
Yeah.
And holy, you know, God is gentle, isn't he? And loving and kind. And it says that verse about, you know, who can condemn? No one. So the Bible is not condemning us if we are anxious. But sometimes we do consent to condemn ourselves.
Absolutely. And just things to sort of unpack from there a little bit as well, because I think you both have alluded to the fact that your anxiety isn't totally gone. Like it's something that you battle with still, would you say that? Or because I'm just conscious that there might be people listening today who are like, I've tried to give this to God, I've prayed about it, I do everything I can for my anxiety, but it's still there. It might not be at its peak, but it's still there. Have you got some encouragement for those people?
I mean, I would say that my anxiety is gone. I say my, it's not my, yeah, it's not mine. I like don't want to say that I own it. But that I do, I feel like sometimes I become under attack by it.
Okay.
So, for instance, when we were writing the book, I suddenly started to feel anxious. I thought, this is weird. Why am I feeling anxious? And I prayed about it and I told a friend and she prayed it. And I just felt like it was an attack. It was a spiritual battle. And so I just started to do the same things that I did before and it went, it shifted. I mean, I've done things like march around my kitchen. You know how the walls of Jericho fell after they were marching around. I've marched around my kitchen. I've marched around my patio, just declaring God's truth over me. And I did it at that time because I just thought, I'm not having this. I'm not having it. I would feel a complete fraud if I was writing a book, say goodbye to anxiety, and it wasn't gone from my life. But since I found freedom, I think anxiety is a mixture of physical, natural depletion. So there is a medical reason for it. But I think there is sometimes a spiritual battle around it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was definitely the case. Yes, I have recognized the signs of it, and do what I do and it goes. So, yeah, I don't struggle with it anymore.
That's awesome.
Mm.
It's really encouraging.
But I would say to the people, who do find it, please, please, God is with you. He will heal you. Just keep trusting, keep believing, get your boxing gloves on, worship, pray, do all the things that help, but also know that you will get through this and you will be healed. I really believe it.
Jane, love that. So good.
Oh.
I would say that it's like the level of anxiety that I once was in is like, so different. I feel like for me, there definitely are moments and days where I feel like it like bubbles. And then, but now I feel like I've got things where I know like almost how to like shove it back. that I've now feel like armored with verses and I don't know, the mind of Christ thing, like that is something to renew your mind and knowing how to combat in those moments of like anxiety. But I feel more confident now. I definitely feel like more and aware of what the enemy's doing now. I think I have a broader perspective of like, this isn't just, I don't know, I know what you're doing. Like, I think it's more of that, like, oh, I know exactly what you're doing in this moment. I know why I'm feeling anxious about that. I know what you're trying to stop me from. And so, no. And like, doing all the things that help. I would say the stronghold of it has been broken in my life. Well and truly, like, free from it. But it just feels like it bubbles now and again to be like, to know what can stamp down on, for sure.
Yeah, oh, that's brilliant. I completely, the stronghold is broken. That's so good, Ellie. Yeah.
That's a really helpful way of putting it, I think.
Yeah, really helpful.
Yeah.
And to encourage, like, that can be for you too. Like, we believe that. Like, when we've written this book, it's a 40-day devotion that we hope can encourage, direct, give you like the goodness and the tools and things that have helped us to help you and for you to know that there is freedom. There can be freedom, and that you don't have to live in this forever. Like, well and truly, like, and that's a really lovely thing to say. I get that. That's oh, that's so kind. Like, I've, and many of you listening might have been like, I've been battling this for years and years, and you know, for some of you, it's a generational thing too. It's like, this is, but this is all I've ever known. This is all my family's ever known. How can there be freedom? How can there? But I well and truly believe, we well and truly believe that he can break it. He can break the curse. He can break the stronghold. He can break the habits and the mental habits, the daily habits, whatever it is, that he can break that, and he can bring freedom and true peace over your life, over your mum's and your grandma's and your, you know, family stuff. Like, he can do that. I believe it. And so it is, it's not the end. I want to encourage everyone, listen, like, it, don't feel like this is what you're going to struggle with forever. Keep speaking, keep like airing out the stuff. And yeah, let's not let the enemy have it.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So you've alluded to the book a little bit there. Can you tell us a little bit about the journey of deciding to do this book and how, why you decided to do it together? And
yes, I would say that Jane has always been someone that I have run to and collapsed to in my times of anxiety and just life things. She's such a mother in my life and such an inspiration, and how she has lived her life, it's so inspiring. And I think, even though we're on the South Coast and it's a train journey to each other, in my life, Jane has been someone that I've looked to and just come to for advice and help. And so Jane approached me saying, you know, would you want to do this? Like, let's write a book about this. We both have had journeys with it, struggles, and freedom. Like, let's talk about this. Let's like help people. And so Jane, yeah, you go for it. You share kind of how.
Well, Ellie, first, thank you so much. And you have brought, I've learned so much from you, and that it's just, I think actually there is something very powerful, firstly, in intergenerational relationships, because my friendship with Ellie has been so powerful in my life as well, and has made a massive difference to all this, and you know, a number of things that I have been doing. Ellie's been such an encourager, and such, her middle name's Joyful, and such a joy in my life. So that's been a privilege. But yeah, so Ellie, I actually read a devotional that Ellie did for the YouVersion Bible app on anxiety, and I just thought, wow, this is so good. And she's such a good writer. Wouldn't it be interesting? Wouldn't it be great to write a book together? Because both of us have experienced it. And so, yeah, we wrote a proposal, sent it off to some publishers, and they said yes. And we then had to write it, which was really fun. Doing that together, and that was such a brilliant process. Ellie is honestly just one of the best people to work with, so that was just brilliant.
Oh, that's lovely. You two are lovely about each other. I know my godmother, that relationship of that intergenerational friendship is so precious. It's really it's really special. You learn a lot from each other, don't you?
I think we need more of it. We need so much more of it. Yeah.
So why did you decide to write it as a devotional rather than, you know, sort of a continuous prose? I think that would be the...
I think there's something about head, you know, when you read a book, it's like head knowledge. So you get wisdom from it, but actually I think with the devotional, it's taking it from your head to your heart. So you're processing it each day with God. You're saying a prayer. You've got this and a journaling to do. You're actually having to respond to what's been written. So that was one of the key things that Ellie.
Yeah, no, I think it's just helpful, isn't it? And I actually right there and then exercise those things that have been talked about and to go there. So we, yeah, so for every day, for every of these 40 days, there's a journal page with just a few questions, but to really just start and prompting you to go there. And I don't know, it's for growth, isn't it? It's to get to those things that maybe you've never been asked, or you've never asked yourself, or you've never been aware of even. So we just hope it's a good tool to kind of like, let's go there then, let's talk about this.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you've included a song to listen to as well, because it just stills you a little bit longer. You know, it makes you just sort of sit and pause for a bit longer, which I think is something anxious people often really struggle to do, actually. So it's good sort of practice for sort of stilling your mind and your body a little bit. And I was going to sort of not actually write in mine at all, because I was like, oh, I'll pass this on to someone. But actually, I've now coloured it in highlights and scribbles.
Yay!
it's been really nice. And I think as a mum as well, having a devotional which I can dip into each day, and I know it's not going to be a long chapter, is really, really helpful for mums who don't have a lot of spare time in their day.
Well, and just, it's brilliant.
Yeah, well, I love it. I really recommend it. So, and I'll share the details with it with everyone in a minute. But one thing, because we're the Salty Mums podcast, one of the questions we always like to ask during an interview is that, how can we as mothers, friends of people who might be going through a, you know, real battle with anxiety at the moment, how can we be salt and light to those people?
I would say listen. Honestly, I was so boring when I was anxious. I shouldn't say that, but I would fixate on it, and I would go on and on and on and on. And I had some amazing friends who just would listen. Listen, and they prayed for me, and they shared Bible verses with me, and they were very practical. I think people wonder, oh, what can I do? How can I? Well, they can't fix you. So know that you can't fix somebody. But actually, by being there, taking them out, go for a coffee and a cake. Cake's great. Cook a meal. Just be there when, you know, you just don't worry about how you are or what you do. Just listen. Yeah.
So good, Jane. I love that. That's been so helpful. And something in some of my friendships that would happen is that they would also like kind of keep me accountable, which is a funny word, but almost like we'd have this very open conversation. I'm like, I really want to do this. Like, well, I'd love to. Okay, one scenario in my life was I was so anxious about riding my bike, and it was the summer, and I just wanted to ride my bike down from my house to the beach. It's literally a 15 minute probably ride, but I was just, it was there, but I just couldn't touch it. I just was so fearful, but I knew I wanted to do it. And so I shared with my friend, like, can you pray for me? Because I really want to ride my bike. and it sounds silly, doesn't it? But it's like, I wanted someone to like, one, pray, but like, also hear the fact that this is something to keep accountable, in the sense that so I was like, please can you pray for me? I really want to go on my bike today, but I can't do it. And she like prayed, I think she sent me a voice memo or something of like a prayer, like, come on, go for it, put your helmet on, sort of thing. And then I, you know, now I told her that I wanted to do that, and I was going to do it. I needed to meet someone at the beach or something. And so I put my helmet on, got on the bike, and just sung literally the whole way down to the beach. And then I could text her. I think it was in me that I could text her, be like, I did it. Like, I've done it. I'm here at the beach. There's that sort of like achievement thing.
Yeah.
How did it go? And I had to respond of like, I'm here. I didn't crash. I made it. Got my helmet. But I think as friends, like keeping each other, like you said you wanted to do this today. Like, how was that to get there? Did you go to the post office? Like, did you manage to post post that parcel, checking in on each other. And it kind of spurs you on, because you want to be able to do it, don't you? To be like, I did it. Be some days like, do you know what? I actually couldn't do that today. It was one too many things. Or, and also something that we could do in friendships. This is what my husband did a lot of the time, was he would say, is this something you want me to cover you in? Or is this something that you want me to like push you and encourage you to do? So with another thing, was like driving was like a huge fear of mine, absolutely huge. I didn't pass my test until a couple of years ago when Maccabee was just born. And it was just, yeah, a mammoth thing for me. And there'd be so many times when I would even pass and I was so absolutely terrified. I didn't still want to drive. I'd like, great, I've passed, but I'm like, don't want to drive anywhere. but my husband would, you know, encourage me like, okay, you need to go there, you need to drive to that place. And I would be so anxious about it. He's like, okay, do you want me to cover you in this and I'll drive and drop you off? Or is this something today that you feel like, let's tackle this together, to let's go. I can sit in the passenger seat and you're gonna drive. And I feel like that's as a husband sort of thing, but I think still with friends, to kind of is, can I cover you this? Do you want me to bring food over tonight? Or can I encourage you, like, no, go on, go do your Aldi shop, do it, put headphones in, I'll, you know, tell me how it goes. Those are some things that have like really helped me, but just as an accountability thing, it's just really helpful.
That's so a really good. Helpful distinction. Yeah.
So good.
I love that. And I think that applies to so many things in life, doesn't it? Sort of saying, do you want covering or pushing on this? Yeah. That's really awesome.
I love that.
And two final quick fire questions, which we're asking every guest this season. So the first one is, and I'll put this to Ellie first, knowing what you know now, what piece of advice would you give to yourself the day you first held your first child?
That is such a great question. What would I tell myself? Okay. I would say, let people in more. Let people in. Almost like you don't have to do as much on your own as you think. Like, do it. Takes a village. Let people in. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Awesome. Jane?
Let go. Yeah, let God and let go.
Awesome. Great answers. Love that one. And if you could pray something over every mum listening, what would your prayer be? I'll go to Jane first this time.
Okay, yeah. May the peace of God that passes all understanding be in your heart and your mind.
Amen.
Wow, that is such a great question, first off. Goodness me. That you're just part of something bigger. You are. You really, truly are part of something bigger. And that, like, your life, like, our little lives are significant, but know that, like, you're part of something bigger. And just, yeah, keep speaking. Keep saying your thoughts and get alongside people.
Mm.
Oh, they're beautiful. I like that one. And I think, Ellie, your last comment there about knowing you something bigger as well, part of something bigger. There's been a lot of podcast episodes where, you know, mum's talking about feeling very overlooked. And I think that's a real encouragement. So thank you.
That's so good about being, part of something bigger. We're all part of God's plan for this world, aren't we? So we do matter. Our lives matter. And actually how... you know, the enemy wants to steal as much as he can to prevent us from doing what God has for us. But actually, Ellie, that's so true.
Yeah.
Profound.
It doesn't feel like you're part of something bigger when you're in the depths of changing nappies, does it? Or at 2 o'clock in the morning,
gosh,
leaking breast milk. And
it's literally so true.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, my boys are in their 20s now. I have no teenagers in the house anymore. Actually, anyway, and I can still remember that feeling in your breast.
I'll let you in. I was speaking to someone today. I was leading worship at a church on Sunday. I was like, this is another church why I've had to pump and put my breast milk in a bag in their church fridge. And I'm like, this is, I can't tell you how many churches have my breast milk in their fridge, but I was like, wow, this is another one on the list. Here we go.
I think my lowest point was after I just had my second son, and I got a blocked milk duct. This is me. Oh. I'm sorry about this, too much information, in my armpit. And I was feeling, you know, that sort of 3-day hormonal period where you're so blue and so, yeah, you just feel horrible. You sort of, there's body fluids everywhere from them, from you. Oh. And anyway, I put some heat on my armpit and milk started coming out my armpit as well. And I was like, oh,
goodness. No way.
This is ridiculous. And I saw my friend later and she's like, Becky, it can't get any worse. You got milk out your armpit today. So it's only up from here. Okay. Thank you for that.
That's a great party trick, that is.
Yeah, isn't
it? It was, yeah, oh, it wasn't, painful. It didn't feel much of a party trick at the time. Oh, dear. Well, yeah, if you want to listen, if you want to read Jane and Ellie's book, it's Say Goodbye to Anxiety. It's a 40-day devotional journey. You can get it from wherever you get your books from, online. Have you done an audio version of it at all? Or
no, we want to. Though.
You want to.
Okay. We want to.
Okay, watch this space then for the audio version. And if you want to follow Jane or Ellie online at all, you can follow Ellie at Ellie_Linebear and Jane at Jane Elizabeth Kirby or at Rebel Hearts Rebel Girls. I'll share those links in the show notes as well, along with the websites. But thank you so much for today.
This has
been such a pleasure. Can I pray for you guys before you go?
Oh, wow, thanks.
No, it's my pleasure.
Yeah.
This is something I often feel anxious about, actually, because I used to co-present with Helen, and she's the prayer of the two of us, and I'm the sort of pray in my head type person. But it's been my way of coping, that is pushing through and offering to pray at the end of every session. So this is me dealing with my anxiety. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for Ellie and for Jane and for their willingness to come on the podcast today and share their story of anxiety and breaking that stronghold of anxiety. I just pray for them that stronghold remains broken, that they remain protected from anxiety by you. And I pray for people listening today as well. I pray that they, if there's anyone out there listening who feels like anxiety is something that they battle with every day or some days or, you know, only occasionally, that they are encouraged by this, that they seek help if needed. And most importantly, they turn to you, Lord, and hear your truth and your love for them and the fact and that they gain your peace, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Remember, all the links that we've talked about today can be found on our show notes. If you've enjoyed the podcast today, please do remember to hit subscribe if you haven't done already. And even better, you can help us reach a wider audience by giving a quick review on whichever platform you're listening on. See you next time.